apply. Details at CapitalOne.com. And listeners like you who donate to this NPR station.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Z's Divine Espresso, offering craft-roasted organic coffees from two Lawrence locations, 1800 East 23rd and 2351 West 31st. CoffeeInLawrence.com.
It's 51 degrees on the KU campus in Lawrence. It's 53 in Topeka. The time is 6:06.
Listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, lots of other frequencies too, and always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Peasley Tech in Lawrence, Kansas. The Peasley Promise offers debt-free career training for local high school students and low-income Douglas County residents. Details and donation information at peasleytech.org/peasleypromise.
Thank you so much for spending part of your day with us here at KPR. A bit more All Things Considered yet to come. As a matter of fact, 42 more minutes of it. News headlines coming your way at 6:30. Then we will learn about a new study examining whether cannabis could play a therapeutic role with people addicted to alcohol. Alcohol use, we'll see if that decreases when people consume cannabinoids. We will also visit group that does what they call gorilla wetlands, not gorilla like, you know, Diane Fossey gorilla, you know, like Che Guevara gorilla. And we will continue with our wild card series. Malala is our guest. It's all coming up on KPR.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight's on Good Shepherd Home Care and Hospice in Manhattan, providing care in private homes, assisted living centers, nursing homes, or at their own hospice house. More details at goodshepherdhh.org.
Mostly cloudy skies tonight with a 40% chance of showers after midnight. Lows in the upper 40s. Patchy fog tomorrow morning. Slight chance of rain tomorrow afternoon with highs in the mid-60s. There is an 80% chance of rain tomorrow night. It's 53 degrees in Topeka. It's 62 in Chanute. The time is 6:20.
The latest on the Epstein files. Tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
You can hear Morning Edition from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. tomorrow on KPR stations. Matthew Algio will have your local news.
Support for KPR comes from the Topeka Zoo, presenting Zoo Lights, holidays from around the world, November 21st through December 31st, now with private igloos for rent. Reservations and tickets at topekazoo.org.
Stay tuned. News headlines are coming up next. It is 57 degrees in Manhattan, 58 in Abilene. It's 6:30.
With most purchases devoted to food and other essentials, profits at the discount retailer were down in the third quarter, and Target expects the slump to continue through the holiday season. This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. The families of two transgender teens in Kansas are suing to temporarily block a ban on gender-affirming care for young people. The lawsuit started in a Lawrence court today. Blocking the law would allow young Kansans to resume hormone therapies and other treatments that will soon be prohibited. Harper Selden is an attorney from the American Civil Liberties Union representing the families. He says the law passed in February is discriminatory and violates the right to bodily autonomy.
We trust parents and their adolescent children to, with their doctors, come to the decision that makes sense for them and their families.
Attorneys for the state of Kansas argue the state has a legitimate interest in keeping children from making irreversible medical decisions. Most Kansas colleges are seeing a decline in new international students, reflecting what many believe is growing unease over new visa policies. International student enrollment dropped 2.5% at Kansas State University this fall, but the number of newly enrolled international students overall is down more than 8%. At Wichita State, enrollment of graduate international students dropped more than 20%. Mirka Martel with the Institute of International Education says a new report shows a disturbing trend.
New international student enrollment has decreased by 7% from the previous year and is similar to the numbers we saw before the COVID-19 pandemic.
At the University of Kansas, the number of new international students is actually up slightly, but overall international enrollment is down about 4%. Crawford County commissioners voted to block a proposal by the small community of Mulberry to annex land for a solar farm. It was an attempt to get around a county ban on renewable energy projects. During a meeting yesterday, Commissioner Bruce Blair said he did not think the proposal was viable.
And I feel bad for the landowners. I understand their position. I understand Mulberry's position. I'm trying to be on both sides, but I think annexation in this process, if I'm talking about annexation and with Mulberry involved, I don't think it's a good thing.
Many Mulberry residents spoke against the proposal during their public testimony. There is a moratorium on renewable energy development until the county updates its renewable energy policy. And Habitat for Humanity is planning to build 23 new homes in North Topeka. The organization won approval for the project at last night's city council meeting. KSNT reports the council approved the rezoning of a lot near the corner of Northwest Tyler Street and Northwest Lyman Road to allow Habitat to build the 23 detached single-family homes. It's 50 degrees on the KU campus in Lawrence. It's 6:35.
It's what's considered from NPR News.
Okay, I might be a little biased, but the holidays are just better with Morning Edition. From hearing about how families celebrate across town.
You come in there, you wash your hands, you roll up your sleeves, you work together.
To learning about fun traditions around the country.
It's like an army of toys in the streets downtown.
Get in the holiday spirit with us and stay up to date on the news. Weekdays with Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations for Morning Edition, the latest national, international, and regional and holiday news. Join us.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Arts Center's Downtown Underground Concert Series, presenting a concert by Canadian folk duo Quote the Raven, November 25th, 7 p.m. Information and tickets at lawrenceartscenter.org.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 99.5 FM in Manhattan. As a matter of fact, we have many frequencies all around the state listed for you at kansaspublicradio.org, where we are streaming KPR 1 and KPR 2 24 hours a day.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas Tree Care. Winter dormancy is the ideal season for pruning mature trees, especially elms and oaks. More information at kansastreecare.com or by calling 785-843-TREE.
Stay tuned. If you're joining us on KPR One stations at 7:01, you'll get news headlines, followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music with Destiny. If you're joining us on KPR Two, up next is the Moth Radio Hour. 50 degrees in Lawrence, 52 in Topeka. It's 10 minutes before 7.
Is out now.
Support for Wildcard with Rachel Martin comes from the Lodestar Foundation, inspired by the principle that helping those in need is a path to a happier, healthier, and more meaningful life. Learn more at lodestarfoundation.org.
It's NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from this station. And from your part-time controller, specializing in nonprofit accounting and committed to supporting nonprofits with financial management services such as budgeting and forecasting. YPTC.com/NPR. From Imaginable Futures, funding programs in the U.S. with the goal of ensuring young children and their parents get the education they need to thrive. Learn more at imaginablefutures.com. And from Easy Cater, committed to helping organizations order and manage food for all their business needs, with online ordering from restaurants nationwide, employee meal programs, and tools to control food expenses at easycater.com. This is NPR.
The holidays can throw our usual routines up in the air, but here's one ritual you can keep to stay centered and informed. Listen weekdays to Morning Edition from NPR News.
You can work that into your schedule fairly simply, I think. 5 to 9 a.m. while you're going about your business in the morning, check out Morning Edition. Again, 5 to 9 a.m. for the latest national, international, and regional news on your KPR stations.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, creating options, outcomes, and opportunities for Kansas and the world. Information about KU programs and research is at ku.edu.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas. We are KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KAND and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, offering live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Green Lady Lounge is located at 1809 Grand Boulevard, Kansas City. Information at greenladylounge.com.
Up next, news headlines, followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music with Destiny. At 9 o'clock, we switch over to Jazz in the Night. 40% chance of showers late tonight, lows in the upper 40s. Patchy fog tomorrow morning, slight chance of rain in the afternoon. Tomorrow's high in the mid-60s. This is KPR, it's 7:01. The news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. U.S. Border Patrol agents have now arrested more than 250 people in Charlotte, North Carolina, as part of a sweeping crackdown on illegal immigration. As Nick De La Canal of member station WFAE reports, many immigrant families are on lockdown.
Inside one East Charlotte apartment. A 14-year-old girl, Paloma, filmed herself hiding with family after spotting Border Patrol agents outside. NPR isn't using her full name because members of her family are undocumented.
My aunt called me and she was like, it's ICE here, tell your dad because my dad is immigrant. So I was very scared, so I ran downstairs and I closed the door. Then I went to my mom's room.
Her dad isn't working this week and her brother isn't going to school. Officials say 44 people detained in Charlotte have criminal backgrounds. Two are suspected gang members. Others have no criminal history. For NPR News, I'm Nick Della Canal in Charlotte.
Former FBI Director James Comey was back in federal court today to challenge the Justice Department's case against him. Prosecutors are facing new questions about the grand jury process that led to Comey's indictment on false statements and obstruction charges, NPR's Ryan Lucas reports.
At a hearing in federal court in Virginia, prosecutors acknowledged under questioning from the judge that the full grand jury never reviewed a final copy of the two-count indictment against Comey. The former FBI director's attorney, Michael Dreeben, jumped on that irregularity to argue that that means there is no indictment and the case should be dismissed, an argument the government pushed back on. Much of the hearing focused on a separate legal challenge Comey has filed, arguing that this is a vindictive prosecution fueled by President Trump's animus for Comey, who is a sharp critic of the president. The judge did not issue a ruling on what he called weighty and complex issues. Ryan Lucas, NPR News, Washington.
Food banks and pantries around the nation say they're still experiencing increased demand for food, even though food assistance has been restored since the government shutdown. NPR's Tovia Smith reports.
Food banks have already seen significant cuts in federal funds that help them buy local food. Now they're bracing for federal SNAP spending to shrink by billions more as new laws begin to take effect. Factor in the holidays and changes to other safety net programs like Medicaid and health insurance subsidies, and food bank executives like Eric Cooper of the San Antonio Food Bank are worried.
I'm not sleeping, but, you know, naively, maybe I hope that the demand will lessen. But I'm still sending out more than what's coming in.
Trump administration officials are downplaying any negative impact of SNAP cuts, saying they're cracking down on, quote, proven cases of waste, fraud, and abuse. Tovia Smith, NPR News.
U.S. stocks made slight gains today. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Cigna Healthcare, a health benefits provider that advocates for better health through every stage of life. Learn more at Cigna.com. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate November 19th. If you suffer from seasonal affective disorder during the dark winter months, then stay away from the poles of Uranus. The giant planet is tilted on its side. So during each 84-year-long orbit around the Sun, the polar regions have 42 years of daylight followed by 42 years of darkness, a long time to feel sad. Planetary scientists have been watching the slow change of seasons for two decades with Hubble Space Telescope. At visible wavelengths, Uranus looks like an almost featureless ball. Faint bands of clouds are about the only details. A smattering of methane in the atmosphere absorbs red light, giving the planet a pale green color. But Hubble's instruments split the light into its individual wavelengths. It also can see into the infrared, which isn't visible to the eye. That reveals more details, providing a better picture of what's going on. Among other things, it's revealed that there's not much methane at the poles, regardless of the season. On the other hand, as the North Pole warmed up during spring, it got hazier. At the same time, the haze thinned out over the South Pole. Scientists are studying those results to learn more about the planet's atmosphere and the slow march of its seasons. Uranus is low in the east in early evening, to the lower right of the Pleiades star cluster. Through binoculars, it looks like a star with just a hint of color. More about Uranus tomorrow. You can find out about McDonald Observatory visitor programs at mcdonaldobservatory.org. And for the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
joyful Happy March here on KPR by Chabrier. Oh, very nice indeed for this Wednesday evening. Sir Neville Mariner and Academy of St. Martin in the Fields. Hi there. I'm Destiny, and I'm also a violinist, and one of my favorite things of all time is Fantasia on a theme by Thomas Tallis. So I'm going to be playing that for you this hour. I thought I would open with a happy march because I'm about to play something tragic. Yes, indeed. I know I shouldn't sound so happy about it, but it's a great symphony. In 1849, Schubert's Symphony No. 4, The Tragic, actually premiered more than 20 years after his death, which is tragic indeed as well. This particular recording features, again, we are hearing from Sir Neville Mariner, an Academy of St. Martin in the Fields. The symphony is about half an hour long, so I hope you enjoy it right now on Kansas Public Radio. Schubert's Symphony No. 4 here on KPR, The Tragic. Sir Neville Mariner and Academy of St. Martin in the Fields. Never fear, though. I have some gorgeous, dreamy music coming right up. But first, I'd like to thank some of our gorgeous, dreamy sponsors. Support for classical music on KPR comes from 715 Restaurant in downtown Lawrence, offering an event space located at 725 Massachusetts for private parties. More at 715mass.com. And the Blue Collar Press, located in Lawrence, Kansas. Blue Collar Press helps businesses and creatives build their brands through merchandising, from design to production to fulfillment. More info at bluecollarpress.com. And one more, Love Garden Sounds. Buying and selling compact discs, vinyl records, stereo equipment, and more at 822 Mass Street in Lawrence. More at lovegardensounds.com. All right. Fantasia on a Theme by Thomas Tallis is so gorgeous. It's right now with the New Zealand Symphony Orchestra by Vaughan Williams. Enjoy on KPR.
Thank you.
Fantasia on a Theme by Thomas Tallis here on KPR, one of my favorites. I'm Destiny. That was the New Zealand Symphony Orchestra. The news is up next, and then I will be back with more music for you right here on Kansas Public Radio.
Okay, I might be a little biased, but the holidays are just better with Morning Edition. From hearing about how families celebrate across town.
You come in there, you wash your hands, you roll up your sleeves, you work together.
To learning about fun traditions around the country.
It's like an army of toys in the streets downtown.
Get in the holiday spirit with us and stay up to date on the news weekdays with Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. Do you have an old car, truck, boat, something sitting around that you would like to get off your hands? Well, we can take it off your hands here at KPR and turn that donation into a tax deduction for you, and it helps fund our programming. Consider helping us out. It's a great way. Just go to kansaspublicradio.org. And this is Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas. We're KANU and KANU HD1, Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1, Olsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the KU School of Music, presenting the 101st Vespers. The seasonal music tradition returns Thursday, December 4th, 7:30 p.m. at the Lead Center. Tickets are at lead.ku.edu.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. President Trump has signed the bill forcing the Justice Department to release its files on late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Congress overwhelmingly passed the legislation yesterday, which requires the Justice Department to publish all of its files within 30 days, with some exceptions. Liz Stein is an Epstein survivor and an anti-trafficking advocate. She says this shouldn't be a political issue.
This has been ongoing throughout five administrations of both political parties. What we're looking at, but what we're not seeing clearly, is that this is a crime, and it's a crime of sex trafficking. We are victims of a crime.
The bill includes provisions to protect ongoing investigations. Just last week, the DOJ launched an investigation into prominent Democrats connected to Epstein. A federal judge in Washington, D.C. is resuming an investigation into who in the Trump administration ignored an order to turn back planes carrying Venezuelan migrants to Central America. As NPR's Adrian Florido reports, Judge James Boasberg's contempt inquiry could lead to criminal prosecution.
Boasberg of the Federal District Court for D.C. had put his criminal contempt inquiry on hold while the Trump administration filed appeals. After an appeals court gave him the green light, he says he could start calling government officials to testify as soon as December 1st. Earlier this year, Boasberg ruled that the Trump administration had purposely defied an order he issued during an emergency hearing in March that it turn back planes carrying Venezuelans to a prison in El Salvador. He said he would find out who had ignored that order and hold them accountable. He has said he could go as far as appointing a special prosecutor to pursue criminal charges. Adrian Florido, NPR News.
Florida Democratic Congresswoman Sheila Sherfalus McCormick has been indicted for allegedly stealing federal disaster funds. The Justice Department says she stole FEMA funds that her family's health care company had received through a COVID vaccination contract. Some of the money was then used to fund her 2021 campaign. Several North Carolina school districts are seeing an increase in absences as Border Patrol continue an immigration crackdown in the state. Cherise Piggott of member station WUNC has more.
Amid the immigration enforcement operations, several districts in North Carolina reported high student absences. Wake County Public Schools, which includes Raleigh, reported more than 19,000 absent students Tuesday, with 110 schools reporting an absent rate above 10%. Elsewhere, Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools says they saw 883 absences on Tuesday. That's 366 more absences compared to last Thursday. And roughly 30,000 students were absent on Monday in Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools, the second largest school district after Wake. Wake County district leaders say they are, quote, actively reaching out to families to ensure students stay connected to their classrooms. For NPR News, I'm Cherise Piggott.
This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Cy Sims Foundation. Since 1985, supporting advances in science, education, and the arts towards a fairer, more just, and civil society.
More information is available at SciSimsFoundation.org. This is Kansas Public Radio.
From wastewater to clean water and saving energy. That's the goal of one KU graduate researcher. She's discovering ways to treat wastewater more efficiently.
My name is Megan Whitman, and I am a fourth-year PhD student at the University of Kansas, getting my degree in environmental engineering, but specifically I specialize in wastewater engineering.
So describe the problem that your research addresses.
The way that we remove our main contaminants in our wastewater treatment system is providing oxygen, and we let the microorganisms or the biological processes occur. And so how we get the oxygen into the system is we pump air into these basins. And we've always just turned the blowers, the pumps on all the way and done the maximum oxygen possible. It costs 25 to 40% of a utility's operating budget is spent on aeration alone.
How is your research addressing this issue?
What if we didn't need to supply so much air? Can we actually turn down the amount of oxygen we're supplying to those basins? Can we still get the same level of treatment, and can we do it for less costs?
And what have you found?
There's a different organism that is dominant or most active at this lower oxygen setting that enables the same amount of process to occur.
The same clean water results using less energy. How could this help cities across the state and the nation?
I think my goal with my research is to help inform utilities and operators so that they can try to implement this lower energy savings. And ideally, what you would see from that is cost savings that can have a real impact in your communities.
With KU's bold commitment to innovation and discovery, the future of Kansas is brighter than ever. For more information, visit graduate.ku.edu or our website at kansaspublicradio.org. For Research Matters, I'm Steve Kincaid.
How about a waltz to waltz into this hour? The Smiles Waltz here on KPR by Emil von Teufel. The Czechoslovak State Philharmonic Orchestra with Alfred Walter conducting. Love a good smile. Hi there, folks. I'm Destiny. Thanks for being here with me. It's the second hour of Evening Classical, and well, since I played tragic music last hour, I thought I would stick to some happy things this hour. Like, It's a Wonderful Life, because it really is. And I've got that coming up, and also the King's Singers at the end of the hour, singing some really pretty things about autumn. Christmas is upon us. So is KPR's Big Band Christmas. That's Saturday night, December 13th, and tickets sell out quick. Go to the Liberty Hall box office or Ticketmaster.com. You can get your tickets. And it's made possible in part by Dr. Stephen H. Chronister, Healing Smiles of Topeka. All right. I think we all should remember that we do have a wonderful life. Dmitri Tiomkin agrees. This is conducted by David Newman, and it's the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, right now on KPR.
Thank you.
It's a Wonderful Life here on Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 99.5 Manhattan. David Newman and the Royal Philharmonic, Dmitri Tiomkin. That is a bright, bright and sunshiny thing to listen to. Hope it brought some joy to you. I'll cool things off with Autumn here in just a bit. But first, I'm taking requests for my Saturday show, Classics by Request. It's from 1 to 4 p.m. And you, the awesome listener that you are, help me pick the playlist. The way you do it is by going to kansaspublicradio.org/classicsbyrequest or the website and navigate over to the shows tab, Classics by Request. It'll take you to a form that you can fill out, and you can be anonymous if you would like. You can tell me what you think the name of something is and I'll try to find it, or perhaps you just know the mood or the story behind it. You can tell me that too. Makes it fun for me to try and figure it out. kansaspublicradio.org/classicsbyrequest. All right, I promised I'd cool things off. It's Stanford's Autumn Leaves with the King Singers, now on KPR.
Autumn leaves, how sad, how cold, how
The King's Singers, so pretty, singing Stanford's Autumn Leaves here on Kansas Public Radio. I hope you all have a marvelous rest of your Wednesday night. The news is up next, followed by Jazz in the Night, and then classical music all day tomorrow, and I'm back in the evening for Tango Thursday. I wonder what tango I'll pick. I'm Destiny. Thank you so much for being here. I always have fun. See you soon here on Kansas Public Radio.
Hi, this is Steve Inskeep. If you're bracing for that holiday conversation with a relative you disagree with, NPR's Morning Edition gives you an example of how. We ask hard questions, really listen to answers, and keep it civil.
Oh, forgive me, but didn't you surface that issue? And am I not listening to you?
Listen well with us, weekday mornings.
That's some jamming music. Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. And this is Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, we are KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3 and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. Support for classical music on Kansas Public Radio comes from the Noto Arts District. Presenting winter celebrations with horse-drawn wagon rides, hot cocoa, annual light ceremony, and more. Open to the public November 29th in Redbud Park in Topeka, 2 to 8 p.m. Info at explorenoto.org.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. President Trump has signed the bill forcing the Justice Department to release its files on late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Congress overwhelmingly passed the legislation yesterday, which requires the Justice Department to publish all of its files within 30 days, with some exceptions. Those include provisions to protect ongoing investigations. Just last week, the DOJ launched an investigation into prominent Democrats connected to Epstein. The gap between what the U.S. buys from other countries and what it sells them fell by nearly 24% in August as President Trump's tariffs pushed imports lower. Meanwhile, Supreme Court justices appeared skeptical of Trump's tariff powers during arguments earlier this month. NPR's Danielle Kurtzleben reports.
It's not just about whether those country-by-country tariffs will be found to be unlawful. The uncertainty is also around what the impact is on those country-by-country agreements, since those were created under the threat of tariffs. Here's Scott Linsicum. He's a trade expert at the Libertarian Cato Institute on how countries will react.
I wouldn't be surprised if a few governments that have agreed to these deals do back out, or at least suspend them and call for a renegotiation. Because, again, one of the most fundamental terms of the deal no longer exists.
So we're really in uncharted waters. There's just an array of different agreements, which means there's no one way this will play out.
NPR's Danielle Kurtzleben reporting. A veteran FBI employee is suing the agency, saying he was fired after displaying an LGBTQ plus flag at his workspace. David Maltinsky had nearly completed special agent training in Quantico, Virginia, when he says he was fired by Director Kash Patel and told he was being dismissed for inappropriate display of political signage. Army Secretary Dan Driscoll is in Ukraine today, along with Army Chief of Staff General Randy George. They're expected to meet with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. NPR's Tom Bowman has more.
Driscoll and General George had already planned a trip to Ukraine to talk about drone technology and lessons learned from the Ukrainian battlefield. Then the White House last week asked the Army delegation to also help kickstart peace negotiations with Trump envoy Steve Witkoff, a U.S. official tells NPR. The official was not authorized to speak publicly. Since Driscoll is an Army combat veteran, the sense was this delegation could more easily relate to the Ukrainian officers. The news of their trip comes amid reports of a new U.S.-Russia peace plan that calls for Ukraine to give up the rest of the Donbas area to Russia and also accept a smaller army. NPR has not confirmed the plan, first reported by the Financial Times. Tom Bowman, NPR News.
President Trump says he will meet New York City Mayor-elect Zoran Mamdani at the White House on Friday. In a post online, Trump said the meeting will take place at the Oval Office and, quote, further details to follow. This is NPR News. Britain is warning Russia it is ready to handle any incursion into its territory after a spy ship was detected near its waters. Britain's defense secretary says the vessel directed lasers at pilots of surveillance aircraft monitoring its activities. He described it as part of a Russian fleet designed to threaten undersea infrastructure. Russia's embassy accused the British government of being Russophobic. Chip company Nvidia told investors it made another $32 billion in profit, but as NPR's Maria Aspen reports, fears are also mounting that an AI bubble is about to burst.
Nvidia is the most valuable company in the world. It sells the semiconductors that are powering the AI boom, and it's making gobs of money. But for all the billions of dollars that tech companies are investing in AI, they're not seeing a lot of payoff yet. Now more top investors and CEOs are warning that the AI bubble is due to burst. That's a problem for the stock market, which has been hitting record highs thanks to tech stocks, despite lots of other economic uncertainty. Tariffs are cutting into company profits, consumer prices are rising, and the jobs market is weakening. Investors will get a delayed government update on employment, but in the meantime, they celebrated Nvidia's blockbuster report card. Maria Aspen, NPR News, New York.
An owl found partially encased in concrete after it got inside a cement mixer in Utah is expected to fly free again after it was cleaned by animal sanctuary workers. Workers removed the concrete after several grooming sessions. It's expected to be released by summer next year. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Fidelity Investments. A dedicated wealth advisor can help build a comprehensive wealth plan. Learn more at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC.
Lafayette Harris Jr., that powerful tune by Max Roach called It's Time, opening tonight's Jazz in the Night on KPR. Max wrote that and recorded it in 1962, and It's Time was about it's time for blacks to gain their civil rights right then. It's time. And Lafayette has it on his new album, All in Good Time, with Kenny Davis on bass, drummer Jerome Jennings. It's Wednesday night's 9 o'clock hour. Time for a new release spotlight hour, and we'll have two tracks each from four of the best new albums in jazz, including the new one from drummer Brandon Sanders called Lasting Impression. And let's hear from that one right now on KPR, and a tune by Brandon called Tales of Mississippi. Thank you. drummer Brandon Sanders his piece Tales of Mississippi on his new album Lasting Impression. What a terrific band he has there. Stacy Dillard playing the tenor sax, vibes by Warren Wolf. And he's also has Eric Scott Reed at the piano, Eric Wheeler, bass, drummer Brandon Sanders. More from his new album, Lasting Impressions, later this hour on our KPR New Release Spotlight Hour. In just a little bit, we'll hear from pianist Sean Mason, his second album, part of this week's New Release Spotlight, and also the CD of the week here on KPR's Jazz in the Night. Support for Jazz in the Night on KPR comes from Art of the Groom, Pet Salon and Art Studio at 1906 Massachusetts Street in Lawrence, offering commissioned pet portraits and dog grooming. Information available by emailing artofthegroom@gmail.com. Well, the great Kenny Barron has a new album out called Songbook, and it features some 13 of Kenny's wonderful compositions down through the years. And in this case, lyrics have been added by Janice Jarrett. She's been doing that over the years as well. And so there's 13 songs collected and a whole bunch of wonderful guest singers, including here Cecile McLaurin-Salvant. It's Kenny Barron's composition, Sunshower, on KPR.
The sun's so bright today, it seems to drop its rays as if it were the rain. Leaves are glistening, petals shine, they all reflect the warmth the sun bestows. Sky and I, we drink the rays in thirst for warmth. Each day begins, we're never sure if we